F1, number 32B.
So, see, in working out the problem, we have to be aware that though we may sit down and do our mental work about it and try to see the truth about it, establish the law about it, we just can't leave Habakkuk out of sight. We just have to remember Habakkuk that says, now, stay with it. Stay with it. Don't now say, well, I have done my work, but it hasn't happened anything today. It hasn't yet solved itself. Where am I wrong? What did I do wrong? See, the moment we fall away again from our mount of vision, and fall away again, and like Habakkuk at the beginning say, it hasn't solved itself. I don't see yet how it could solve itself. And one begins to be impatient and uncertain and doubtful. One begins to become doubtful if science works. One becomes to be doubtful if one has done the work properly. One becomes to be doubtful, have I seen the right idea? One begins to doubt everything in oneself. And that's the point of Habakkuk. And that's the point of Habakkuk where he comes and says, well, that also belongs to the divine principle that you handle that argument, that at any time just the sense testament comes in and just says, nothing happens in the Christ. Nothing has happened in the situation. It doesn't work. And so naturally, you see, Habakkuk sometimes just seems to be a pivot in those prophets, especially in regard to practice. And I think because he's that pivot on which so much depends in practice, that it is the pivot really also of Paul's teaching of demonstrating the Christ. We will see that when one goes through the epistles. Namely, that pivot which says, if you slide back from your knowledge of things, from your consciousness, how can you expect that a solution will come? So the Christ there comes and strengthens us to strengthen within us that we only should believe what spiritual consciousness has said to us and what spiritual consciousness has established in us, and not to go down from the watchtower. The moment we go down from the watchtower and say, now I just am going to watch if my treatment has been good. I just wait now an hour or so when the patient rings up, and I wonder what he says. And if the patient says, oh, I'm not well, it's just nothing happened, and I say, oh, my treatment hasn't been any good. See, that's evil. See, that's handling evil. That you don't fall into that trap. And that trap is that trap which Habakkuk has shown us time and time again through three various, through the first three subjects, that we shouldn't fall into the trap of disbelieving our spiritual consciousness. That's evil. That's really evil. You know, that's sin. I mean, if you steal something, it's not very nice. But if you steal God by letting his riches go, and if we rob ourselves of all that riches, that's really sin. That's sin. We should see that sin as they show it, as the prophets show it. For them, sin is only one thing, fundamentally: to slide back from God, to leave the unity with God. That's for them sin. For them, that's really being really bad. And it would be a good thing if we would change our moral sense of sin and adopt and see what really, in a scientific sense, sin means. And the sin of Habakkuk would be to let the value, the bigness of what we have consciously, lovingly, divinely seen, to let that go. That's sin. And it shows that if we don't let it go, as he didn't let it go, that then in Zephaniah the whole idea is being demonstrated in its entirety. So that at the end of Zephaniah he really can say, now the Lord rejoices over thee. The Lord rejoices over thee. And then at that point the true idea is established and is full. And it is so we are there re-established again consciously in knowing that fundamentally all that there is going on is that the principle of being heals our backsliding, and in order to do that he goes through the first 9 prophets, and then at the end of the first 9 prophets in Zephaniah he says, now the Lord rejoices over thee. And he says, and that is true since everlasting. And that is our everlasting kingdom. So that's the throne of grace with which we leave these talks. And we just are no more going to slide back from it. We just go out now and have one a new standpoint. We have won it through that grace of God which says, no matter whatever has happened, no matter whatever you have been doing, no matter if you have been ignorant about God or not, no matter whatever happened, God only knows you as his idea and joys over you. And it would be sin if for any moment again we would let that go. So we keep it. We just keep it from now on. Just have established now the throne of grace. We have gone and have sat down on the throne of grace, to the right hand side of God and of His Majesty. And we are only from now on going to view everything from the throne of grace, where we, with all our grace and mercy, look at anything and everywhere and at any time. Then we have found our sinless place. And then we feel how God rejoices over us. And we can only go home and love that. We don't have to struggle for that because it's grace. We don't have to worry about it because it's established. It has been as of old. And that kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We have won something for eternity, not just for today or for tomorrow or for a year or for a human lifetime. We have won something which is the everlasting kingdom. And we just can feel happy about it and grateful about it and joyous about it and just pitch that ark that no other argument can ever come and flow inward. So we keep that ark pitched. Well, that's all I want to tell you this week. I hope you just have seen what I tried to show you.